welcome everybody to episode 226 of the Meta Readers 2 podcast. You are listening to Ben.
And I am David, and we are going to pick up where we left off on episode 225, where we concluded talking about the DWM Doctor Who monthly rankings of William Hartnell. We're going to pick up with Patrick Troughton and then nip on into the 1970s.
The greatest decade, the 1970s. Right, Patrick Troughton.
So coming in at the bottom of the heap is, I guess, no surprise, is the Space Pirates.
Yeah, I'm just so curious about the Space Pirates.
Yeah.
I would love to have that returned. Really would.
Well, maybe it will be in that Australian Hall of the Avid Collector.
It could be. I mean, we're not,
I'm not holding our
holding
breath.
Our breath. But yeah, I'm just, because it's Robert Holmes, and I really like the model work on it. And my view on Space Pirates is actually, it's more like it's an enemy of the world. I think if it gets returned, I think people will actually like it.
It has to only go up.
Well, yes, it can only go up. That's true. It can only go up. It can only go up.
Yeah. Yeah. And then going next up is the Dominators, which I would have placed it a bit higher than second from the bottom.
Yeah, the Quarks are absolutely classic.
The Dominators themselves are hilarious. The
whole thing is a complete hoot fest.
Well, it's a parody. It really is a parody, and it's Lincoln and Haseman doing hippie punching, basically.
Dirty hippies.
And it's a companion piece to the Web of Fear in many ways.
Yeah, yeah, yep, yep, yep. So, something, I guess it's ranking, something has to be bottom. But, the Dominators should be higher, in my opinion, really should be.
Do you have something that you would place it lower than? Last time you said you kind of like them all, and you were handing out tens left and right, like Halloween candy.
Yeah, I do like them all. I mean, I think I'd slip, I don't know, I don't know. I really didn't enjoy as much as I was hoping I would Fury of the Deep animation. To me, that slips Fury of the Deep further down, to be honest. I'd also slip the Highlanders further down as well, which is one that I don't fully enjoy.
The Highlanders is a tough audio to follow.
It is.
I think maybe if there's some surviving footage that is recovered or even an animation, it might be a little more obtainable or understandable. But as it stands right now, it's a hard listen to. And when I was collecting the CDs of the soundtracks back in the early 2000s, I got to the Highlanders. I was cherry picking.
Right.
And I thought, oh, Jamie's first story, I'll give that a listen. And it just stopped my collection dead in the tracks. I had already, I had picked up the, you know, the Dalek stories and the Cybermen stories, and it was cherry picking here and there. But once I got to the Highlanders, I just said, maybe I've gotten the good ones.
Right, right. It is very indicative when you look at Enemy of the World. You know, 1998, it was 17. 2009, 15, and then as soon as we get the thing back, bam, straight up to number 7. So, I mean, that's kind of how it works. And neither of us are sitting on the edge of our seats going like, oh, there's going to be a return for the 60th, because, you know, there isn't probably, but still. I think when you actually get to see these things, then these rankings start to change. I mean, I was interested, you know, the War Games held the number one position for a decade plus.
Yep.
Which is interesting to me because, you know, it's a long, long watch. You know, someone's really got to sit there, and it has the beginning of our, you know, it has the beginning of our precious continuity and lore in it.
Right.
Which, you know, as fans, we're like, oh, yeah, no, fantastic. Yes, Time Lords, et cetera. Season 6A or 6B or whatever it is. I mean, I like the War Games. I would like to see other Trans take the top spot.
It's hard with only, what, a handful of Troughton stories, what, 5, 6 Troughton stories that are totally complete in the can without having had any kind of animation or other kind of reconstruction. So if you're going to have something on top, you have the War Games, Tomb of the Cybermen, Enemy of the World, Mine Robber, Seeds of Death, and Crotons and Dominators. That those are your stories, right?
Yeah.
So of those, Tomb comes in number 2nd, which I think is a bit of a surprise. I think if Web of Fear, if that stubborn episode 3 ever does make it back into the archive, I think Web of Fear really is the top Troughton story. And it is hindered by being returned, but being incomplete. So in 2014, right after the return, the number 2 overall Troughton ranked story, and it drops 3 spots to the 5th position in the 2023 rankings.
Do you think that episode 3 animation that everyone hates apart from me affected its positioning?
I would say it's impacted the same way that Tomb of the Cybermen is impacted, where, oh, it's returned. It was billed as the jewel of the crown for Troughton stories, and then it was returned, and people were rather ho-hum about it. But I think the Web of Fear is really hurt, not so much by having an animation, but just by having a missing episode. I think any kind of animation, maybe a good Cosgrove Hall animation, but any kind of animation, I think, hampers a story when you're doing kind of a ranking.
True. I think another thing that's kind of, you know, kind of popping out for me here, you know, looking at these rankings, I'm going to name something now, and I'm going to call it the Web Planet effect, which is, if you go to a completely alien planet, and you have only a cast of complete aliens, and they're doing a bunch of alien things, that lowers your ranking.
So you're looking at the Crotons and Dominators.
So look at the Crotons, we're looking at Underwater Menace, we're looking at the Dominators.
Well, Underwater Menace is Earth, so that's...
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, you have the fish people. I mean, if you have an attempt to be, ooh, this is completely alien, we don't like it. We like humans doing human-y things. So we like humans as the protagonists, along with our TARDIS crew. What we don't like is a bunch of aliens, you know, knobbing around on in a quarry, just kind of doing stuff. That's my theory, and that's what knocks you down. I kind of like those. I mean, you know, that kind of Planet of the Ming-Mongs style story. I think they're kind of fun, and they have that kind of, you know, wacky 1960s ambition to do something spacey, which I think deserves rewarding rather than punishing, and the pseudo unitness of something like Tomb of the Cybermen, or, well, obviously the Invasion is unit, but Web of Fear, etc. is, again, as we were saying last time, it's all these stories are awesome. I would prefer, if I'm going to argue for the lower ranked stories, it's their ambition that I would argue for.
Another observation I have on this is that animation doesn't really seem to impact standing at all.
Yeah,
you can look just right across the board. Invasion in 1998 was in fourth position. Invasion in 2023, fourth position.
Right.
Power has been pretty much in the top 5. Evil the Daleks has gone down in stature since the anniversary year, and with an animation.
Well, so, yeah, true, yeah.
Other stories like Macro Terror, it's gone up slightly from 15th to 12th, not really a significant jump. And Faceless Ones is kind of middle-range story. It's 14th overall in 2023, as it was in 2014, which is down a couple ticks from the initial ranking in 1998. So not a lot of movement on the animated stories. I guess the only other one is Fury, and Fury dropped every year that they've done this. It was 6 in 98, and it's gone down each year, and now after the animation, it's in 9th place.
The Troughton rankings are relatively static. Yeah. If you compare the numbers of red arrows and green arrows to the numbers of red arrows and green arrows in Hartnell, there's a lot more movement in Hartnell.
Yeah, if we just nip back to the Hartnell era, there are only 3 stories, Dalek's Master Plan, the Aztecs, and Marco Polo, that remain static in their rankings from the previous year.
Yeah.
The Dalek Invasion went up, Time Meddler went up, 10th Planet went up. All these landmark stories went up in stature at the expense of, like, The Unearthly Child.
Right.
That drops.
Right.
So it's interesting in that I think, like, the 10th Planet got a boost mainly due to Peter Capaldi in World Enough and Time.
Very true. Very true. But, I mean, I think it shows how, and I'm going to overcharacterize what I think here, it's perhaps how younger fans maybe have a harder time assessing the Troughton era. Mm. It is what it is. It stays static. I think your point about the animators not really helping, I think, is really interesting because they really don't.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Abominable Snowman is 10th position in 2014, 10th position in 2023 after the animation. And
yep.
People voting in the DWM poll is going to have seen the animation.
Yeah, by and large. There's a great percent of readers of DWM who have seen it than normal people. So yes, absolutely.
And many of the older fans might have actually seen it on broadcast.
It's possible, though those people are getting older and older every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're about 10 years older than us, exactly. I think. Would be.
Which is still not very old, but it is slightly old.
Doesn't seem that old anymore.
Exactly.
So, any other shockers of the Troughton era?
There are no other shockers of the Troughton era, I'm afraid. No other shockers.
Yeah, it's a pretty static era, and I don't know if that's unfortunate or not, but most of the stories are locked in position.
Yeah.
Really nothing that big of a move. The Ice Warriors down 2 ticks. I would have stuck that at the bottom, probably below the Space Pirates. But other than that,
yeah.
There's not much. Yeah. So I guess War Games come out on top, and then we can look at John Pertwee era.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more movement.
Early
1970s.
The number one spot retains the number one spot
forever.
And basically the bottom five retain the bottom, well, actually the bottom six retain the bottom six spot.
Mm-hmm.
So all the movement is in between.
Yep. So number one was Inferno.
Yeah.
And we can just talk at the staticness of the bottom. So going from the last to increasing, we got the Time Monster at 24, Monster of Peladon, Mutants, Colony in Space, Death of the Daleks, and the Claws of Axos.
Yeah, as everyone knows, I'm a huge fan of the Pertwee era in general. I would push all of those slightly higher. I don't know what I'd push further down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it would be fun to kind of maybe knock Inferno off the top spot for a bit and put the Green Death out there. Why not? Because it's better, in my opinion. It's similar and also better. It's more action.
It isn't my favorite story of Season 7 either. I would rank Silurians or even Ambassador's Death
yep.
on a good day higher than Inferno.
I wouldn't disagree. I think it's really interesting that it's just kept that number one spot forever.
I think it works better as a season conclusion rather than a standalone story. It's not to knock the story at all. It's a wonderful story. It's a great story. I thoroughly enjoy Inferno, but for narrative and for introducing things into the Doctor Who mythology, I think the Silurians, Doctor Who and the Silurians, comes up on top.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I would agree with that. I mean, he said, not to knock Inferno, of all of those long stories from that season, it's the one that I find to be the longest.
It's because the whole second plot.
Yeah. And,
or the parallel universe.
And, you know, I like monsters. The Primords are really pretty bad monsters.
Mm-hmm.
The story is really the alternative universe and the destruction of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story. The Primords are kind of thrown in there like, we have to have some monsters. We have to have some two-legged jeopardy here rather than other kinds of jeopardy.
Right.
And their teeth are those joke shop vampire teeth that, you know, we used to get in Christmas crackers and pretend to be vampires for 10 minutes on Boxing Day. So, you know, it's, I'd mark them down for that.
But doesn't that make them accessible for kids wanting to play the Primords, though? I mean, you can get the fake teeth.
I suppose so.
Yeah, no.
I suppose so. I mean, do kids really, I mean, do kids want to play being the Primords? I wouldn't.
They're basically werewolves.
Basically.
Really.
Basically werewolves with very obvious plastic teeth, yeah.
And there seems to be a little, receive fan wisdom in some of these rankings, like Three Doctors 2009 in ninth place is probably a little more realistic than in 2023 putting in a fifth place. The Demons, it's fourth overall. I'm a bit surprised by that. I guess it is a really popular story, so maybe not so much.
I mean, by received fan wisdom, are you saying perhaps that maybe New Who fans are obviously possibly voting here, are voting on what they've read rather than what they've seen?
I think there's an understanding that certain stories are good or better than others. So, for example, The Mutants, third from the bottom. The Mutants is really a pretty good television program.
Right. It is.
And I think the story is far more solid than The Three Doctors. Now, where The Three Doctors shines is pretty much you see Troughton and Hartnell in color acting alongside Pertwee.
Yeah.
The story itself, I think, is less interesting than many of the other stories at the bottom. Even like Claws of Axos is a more compelling, interesting story than Omega and more Time Lord mythology.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think Carnival of Monsters has been talked up quite a bit. I'm surprised to see that outranking something like the Sea Devils or Terror of the Atons or even Day of the Daleks.
Yeah. True, true, true.
So it's a bit of a surprising ranking, but on some levels, but on other levels, the really popular stories, aside from something like Day of the Daleks, which I thought was a lot better received than it appears in 11th spot, and that's pretty static since 2009.
One kind of really interesting leap, and I'm kind of struggling for an explanation to this, is Invasion of Dinosaurs, which, you know, languished at number 20 for many, many years,
mm-hmm.
And then only struggled up to number 18 in 2014, but now is like rushed up the charts to number 13. It is an excellent story.
It is.
And I'm wondering whether people have finally realized that it's an excellent story and that the fact that the dinosaurs are a bunch of puppets is neither here nor there, and that it's the excellence of the story that we're kind of ranking. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a really curious observation. I would have expected it to go up if they did a whole special edition Jurassic Park-style dinosaurs, but maybe...
Maybe that's what we're ranking on. Maybe we're ranking it on that expectation, you know, that when that box set gets released, that will happen. I kind of doubt that that's going to happen, to be honest.
I would be surprised, yeah. Just because to do it well will cost money, and I think there's other things that they'd want to do with season 11.
Yeah, with their limited resources. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe fandom has crossed over and looking at the story rather than at the special effects.
Yeah. I mean, let's hope so. I mean, I think so. I mean, maybe that's what's going on. Yeah, maybe because as I said, it's an excellent story, and a little bit like Inferno. I'm not going to argue against myself. You know, the dinosaurs are kind of incidental.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to provide a coherent two-legged and four-legged threat.
Yeah.
While the eco story pushes forward. But the story is great and the acting is amazing. And, you know, you got the Mike Yates betrayal, mm-hmm. spoiler alert. Sorry, I put spoiler alert after the spoiler rather than before.
The big shocker, I guess, for me is the Doctor Who and the Silurians falling 5 spots.
That is a big
and
fall.
Below the Sea Devils, the sequel for it.
Yeah.
Once again, we have a dinosaur story, and I wonder if the classic Silurians, after years of the Chibnall, Moffat, Lady Vastra type Silurians, the three-eye Silurians no longer are in favor.
Yeah, when New Who fans, you know, watch that, they go like, what are those? Those aren't real Silurians.
Right.
Real Silurians are like a sexy and run around the place.
The paradigm has shifted.
Yeah, exactly.
In modern fandom's mind's eye, when they see the Silurians, they're seeing lady lizards.
Sexy lady lizards rather than kind of clompy man lizards,
yeah.
Which, you know, which are kind of not very convincing in some ways.
What would you say is probably the most underrated great story in this list?
I would say the most underrated great story in this list is either Colony in Space or Death to the Daleks.
Okay.
Death to the Daleks and Colony in Space have a similarity to them in that they are about civilizations that have decayed and the consequences of that. And I kind of like that. I like a decayed civilization that has to be kind of rediscovered by the Doctor and the Doctor's friends.
Mm-hmm.
Colony in Space, again, I think people have... You know, one reads that it's boring. I find it super action-packed and really enjoyable. And the tension between the colonists and the mining company, I think, is great. It is let down. It's really kind of severely let down by the monster effects, which is kind of ironic since part of the plot hinges on, you know, monster effects. But I'd rate it higher. And Death of the Daleks has got Daleks in it. The, you know, Daleks with the machine guns,
mm-hmm.
is never not an amazing concept,
right.
That needs to be rewarded. So, yeah, I would push those both of those two higher if I could.
I think for me, the other story Don Houghton wrote, Infernal, is in number one.
Right.
I think The Mind of Evil has a lot of subtlety, and we're dealing with what the Doctor fears, what the Master fears, and it's a great unit story. The Brigadier is taken seriously. We have Mike Yates, early action hero. I would rank that significantly higher, maybe up another, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 spots, probably in the top 5 of Pertwee.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. Wouldn't disagree with that. It is a shame about the Time Monster. I know why it's at the bottom, and I know why it's always been at the bottom, and it will probably never change. It is a shame because, again, there's a lot of action in that. Mm-hmm. I'm very taken. I think it was Lance Parkin who described it. You know, it's Doctor Who the movie. It's got everything in it, plus the kitchen sink.
And Ingrid Pitt.
And Ingrid Pitt glancing about, which is always welcome. And yep. Master's on top form. Mm-hmm. You know, Delgado is doing his Delgado best. You know, I love the Doctor's, you know, time disruptor thing that he makes out of a wine bottle and that kind of stuff. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And the whole women lib thing stuff is hilarious. So, yeah, I have a lot of affection for Time Monster.
Why do you think it's at the bottom then?
Because it's a mess. Mm-hmm. It's an amusing mess. The women's lib thing is the most dated you could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. in terms of dialogue. And, you know, Jeopardy is unclear what the kind of Jeopardy is, and the Time Monster itself is not very scary and not particularly convincing. The Atlantean stuff is the best, but that's just like a Minotaur. So, as I said, it's a mess, which I think doesn't help it.
Mm-hmm. For a very consistent era, something slipped up on it, I guess, would be the most generous way of stating it.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's probably the weakest of the season finales of Letts and Sloman.
Very true. Very true. I mean, obviously, something like Green Death kind of knocks spots off it, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hard to beat the heartfelt companion departure at the end of it.
And also the one with the maggots. You know, it's basically yeah. is the one with the maggots. Even the Knotwees remember that one with terror. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, okay. Moving on.
Baker rankings.
No surprise which comes in at the bottom, which is Underworld, 41st of 41 stories.
It is always the most disliked. Again, I will always go into bat for Underworld. It's attempting to be a fully CG story before they'd actually even invented computers.
Before they worked it all out, too.
Exactly. So, I mean, you've got to reward it for that. It's like, mm-hmm. why don't we just use CSO for the whole thing? Wow, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Not learning from how it hasn't worked in the past. So anyway, yeah, I like it. And its design is weird as well. I think the design of the, I'm forgetting their names. Are they the Guardians? No, the ones with the kind of weird domey helmets.
Mm-hmm.
There's three of them. Anyway, the things who sort of guard the Oracle are just really odd. And there's some great odd design in it. I think Leela is fantastic in it. I like Underworld. I would knock Meglos and Armageddon Factor, and I would push those far below Underworld. Under Underworld, if you wish.
Interesting that Meglos, another series that's experimenting with CSO, this time with SceneSync, I think,
right,
is at the bottom. Now, I don't think it's the CSO that kills Meglos more than just the story itself.
Yeah, the story itself. It's a mess.
It seems to be out of place in season 18. It's obviously a holdover from, I think, season 17, but it's kind of a mess. We have stunt casting, or we have guest casting with Jacqueline Hill again. And
which for older fans is like, why not bring back Barbara? God's sake. You know, why have it be somebody else?
Right.
And I can see how an actor, you know, would want to. I don't want to be Barbara. I want to be somebody else.
Right.
But if Meglos had brought back Barbara in some way, it would race way nearer the top for me.
It'd have to be a totally different story, though, too.
Well, it kind of would, yes.
I don't think you could have her be the Arthur Dent-type character taken over by Meglos.
No, that's true. It would have to be a different story. Put her in a different story. Get some other actor to be I'm not remembering what her character is called, to be that character in that story.
I think if you would have put her in season 19 and put her in Black Orchid somehow, would be a good match for Barbara Wright somehow. Maybe ancestor of Barbara Wright or something like that.
Oh, yes, exactly. That would have worked. Barbara Wright's mother.
Something like that, yeah.
And you could have Barbara Wright's child. I mean, it'd be like it'd be baby Barbara Wright.
Who would be Fenric? No, that's...
Anyway, yeah.
Horns and Nyman, those... other much maligned story closed out, unfortunately, I guess due to the strike in the BBC powers that be canceling Shada. Horns and Nyman is at the bottom, which is entirely panto.
Yeah, it's again, that's a story that I have grown to enjoy far more. I really hated it at the time when I was a kid. I thought it was just the worst. I like it now. I think, again, like Underworld, its design is nuts and therefore enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Nyman are the... I'd have to now mentally run through all of the costume design of all of Doctor Who and kind of rank them. But without actually doing that right now, the Nyman are pretty much near the top in terms of the most crazy costume design for a monster. With their great big platform.
They're disco. They're disco Minotaurs.
They've got great big platform shoes. They have weird loincloths. They have giant heads, which makes no sense, with big, shiny, glowy, spiky horns. They're utterly insane and therefore incredibly enjoyable.
Yeah, and it's like I said, disco Doctor Who.
Disco Doctors, yes.
If Shada would have been completed, it leads almost right in with the kind of disco look of Skegra.
Yes, with his silly hat and everything.
Silver.
Hang on, I'm looking. Is Shada on this?
No, Shada isn't on because it's not completed. And which doctor would you put it under? Eighth or fourth?
Oh, very true. Yeah, very, very true. I mean, if it wasn't here, it would be quite low for me because I'm tired of Shada now.
You're all Shada'd out.
So tired of Shada.
Yeah.
Looking at the top, City of Death, Genesis of Daleks, Pyramids of Mars, Robots of Death, Talons of Wang. I'm interested that Talons of Wang Chiang has kind of held its spot a little bit, though it is starting to drop I don't know whether in 2014 we were criticizing it quite as consistently for its casting and general attitudinous to Chinese people, but certainly in 2023 we are, and I wonder whether that accounts for a little bit of its slippage.
I think it does, and I think it will continue to erode if in 2034 or whenever we do this again. It will be down.
10 years from now. Right. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, it'll be... Yeah, I think they're going to be doing this every 10 years. I think it'll drop further. It might be in the... banging its head on the top 10 because, as I mentioned previously, on Gallifrey Base, they have the top 3 tournament.
Right.
And Talons of Wang Chiang won a few years back. And it's no longer a contender anymore. It's no longer, I think, seen as Tom Baker's top story.
Yeah,
which
very true.
Talons of Wang Chiang, it was number 2 spot in 98, and it's dropped down now to 5th place. I think it will continue to erode. I think a story like City of Death will... I'm surprised this is the first time ever that it's on top. I think it's most relatable to a modern Doctor Who audience than probably any other classic story. I think it fits within the mold of what a contemporary audience wants in classic Doctor Who.
It feels very New Who when you think about it.
Yes.
When I think it feels very like Baker could be Capaldi in that story. It feels very, very similar in its kind of attitude to the Doctor and what the Doctor does and how the Doctor behaves, how the Doctor relates to his or her companion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and so I'm not surprised to see it knock Genesis off the top spot.
Yeah.
Genesis, I think, probably has gotten the top billing for the previous 3 times that they've done this. A lot has to do with the Davros mythology and how much that influenced 1980s Dalek Doctor Who, or all Dalek stories ever since Genesis, with Destiny, Resurrection, Revelation, and Remembrance, all being Davros stories. So when this poll was first conducted, we just had Doctor Who of the original run, and it's not surprising to me that it would have claimed top spot and then hung on for the following 20 years.
Right. No, I agree.
Stories, I think, that are criminally underranked are Power Krull, which is in fourth from bottom and 38th place.
It's a personal favorite of yours, I know that.
Personal favorite. I would certainly rank it higher than such classics as Creature from the Pit or The Invisible Enemy. Even Destiny of the Daleks, I would rank it higher.
Yeah, Destiny of the Daleks could go a lot further down for me.
Way down. Revenge of the Cybermen, I would rank higher.
Absolutely.
As would Robot. Any season 12 story is up there, at least in the upper half.
Yeah, I'm distressed to see Planet of Evil slipping, because, I mean, that's a very, very solid story.
Dropped 10 spots from 14th.
Exactly.
In 2014 down to 24.
Some of the best Alien Planet production design. Everyone agrees that. There's some great acting. And there's some serious jeopardy. People seem to be really ragging on Planet of the Evil at the moment for no real reason. It's not racist, as far as I can gather, and it's super enjoyable. So it should be higher. I don't know why it's dropping so badly.
It is returning home to where it was in 98, though. In 1998, it was in 22nd place overall. So maybe this is just cyclical.
Full circle, yeah. It just keeps on going round.
Mm-hmm. Also at the top, I'm happy to see Robots of Death and Pyramids of Mars both climbing up and improving. They're both...
As they should.
Classics of the Tom Baker era. Also pleased to see Horror of Fang Rock going up a couple spots, too. But Ark in Space is static, and I'm a bit surprised by that.
Yeah, it's always held up to be a kind of epitome of what Who should be. Gets talked up all the time, but that doesn't really seem to affect its ranking, which you said it just kind of hangs there at the number 9/10 spot.
Yeah.
I'm amused to see The Nightmare of Eden, Invisible Enemy, and Creature of the Pit just kind of swapping themselves around on a regular basis, but not really going anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
It's just shuffling the deck of season 17.
Kind of mediocre season 17 stories are just being shuffled around.
Yeah. Santarin Experiment is dropping, and I was talking with Elliot a while back, and I think it's the shock of the torture, the experiments, I think, is not palatable to kids these days. And I say kids, I have a Gen Z adult child there, but...
True, yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Yep, that's true.
And what I always liked when I was a young person watching it was the location filming, and I think location filming doesn't have quite the... mystique as it did in the 80s when
very
I was
true.
Watching this, because a lot of television shows are now filmed on location.
Very true. Sunmakers is mysteriously not a popular story and has never been popular. I would always have put that higher than it always has been, historically speaking.
I think it's production values. It does feel a little cheap.
Yeah, that's because it kind of is.
Well, let's say... It's season 15, we're running out of money type story.
The entire country's running out of money at that time, so
yeah.
You know. But yes, true. It is one of those inflationary stories where the cost of everything between episode 1 and episode 4 had doubled.
The story that I'm surprised always ranks as high as it does is Legopolis, and that's 12th overall in this ranking. And
is that because it's a regeneration story, do you think?
I think that has to be it. Just there's not much story there.
It's boring story.
It's maths.
Everyone hates maths. I hate maths. And even though it's 4 episodes, it's way more boring than something like Mind of Evil. Way more boring.
Well, I think Robot is a lot more exciting than Legopolis, and Robot is kind of stuck in, last two polls in 23rd spot.
Yeah, which is criminal.
Which is a bit of a surprise. And
yeah,
I think Robot gets the stick quite a bit because it is seen as a holdover from the Barry Letts era, and always It's said that, I think it's commonly said that people can see Pertwee doing this story. And for me, it's never been a Pertwee type story. It's always been Tom Baker as the Doctor.
You're right. I do find that, I've always found that a confusing observation. I mean, yes, it is a holdover because Barry Letts is basically producing the thing, but it's completely Tom Baker. I mean, maybe, you know, it's with the first story I saw Tom Baker in, so it's right. Kind of, you know, I always see it as being as a Tom Baker story. Maybe if I was looking at it with younger eyes, I would say, yeah, this is more like Pertwee, but I don't think it is like Pertwee, actually. I mean,
I don't know what season you'd slot it in if no. It was a Pertwee season. I mean, it's definitely not a season 7 story.
If you stretched it out to 7 episodes, it could be a season 7 story. But, I mean, that's the only thing that would make it a season 7 story, to be honest, if there was more of it. But, no, it's a Baker story. It always has been, always will. And I find that an incorrect observation from our fellow fans.
Mm-hmm. I think a nice sign of taking another look at a story is The Face of Evil picking up 4 spots. It's its highest rank ever, and it introduces one of the great all-time companions.
Absolutely. It's interesting to see Face of Evil bracketed in the same place on the ranking with Image of the Fendarl, two vouchers kind of plonked together there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting that Robots of Death is still in the top 5 there.
Yeah, and it's pretty much consistently kept its 4/5th place throughout the decades.
Yeah, I think we'll see, like, Seeds of Doom probably creep up there, surpass Talons of Wang Chiang the next time.
Yeah, I think, as you pointed out, I think Talons is going to continue to drop,
mm-hmm.
and just the ones below it are going to supplant it, I think.
Yeah. I predict the next time this runs, we'll have City of Death, then Robots of Death, then Genesis, Pyramids of Mars, and Seeds of Doom. I think the Hinchcliffe Holme era will continue to dominate, but erode a bit.
Definitely, I think it will erode a bit, because it doesn't seem to have the same cachet with the younger fans as it has with fans of our age, which is fine.
Which is fine, and I think that also helps explain why City of Death will probably be a lock on the top spot henceforth.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Any other observations on Tom Baker?
I don't think so.
Okay.
There is a lot of Tom Baker. It's funny, you know, comparing it to the previous 3 Doctors.
Right.
There is a lot of it.
7 years.
7 years of Tom.
So we're waiting. I guess we're waiting for DWM to come out with the next rankings. Whether we continue on in the 80s or not, I think we'll leave that up to our listener.
Yes, write in. Write in, listener, to the usual address and tell us whether you want us to continue doing this.
Yeah.
We're probably just going to continue doing this. But let us know anyway. This is. I'm actually kind of enjoying this. I'm enjoying this more than I thought I would.
Well, it gives us an excuse to talk about the old stories once again.
The old stories. Until, of course, we get to the rankings of the new stories, and then we'll have to talk about the new stories.
Yeah. Well, there won't be any 1998 rankings for Eccleston.
That's true.
Onwards.
Oh, that's, yeah,
so
exactly.
So we'll only have three polls worth of comparison.
And as we get nearer and nearer the present day, there won't be any 2009 ones either.
We're going to get, for the first time, a ranking of everything post-2014, which is, what, half of Moffat and all of Chibnall.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see, yeah. We'll see. This is a problem for Marcus Hearn, not for us, thankfully.
But, I was going to say, if you did want to contact us, you can email us at metabulus2, that's metabulus with a number 2, @gmail.com, or reach us at mastodonsocial@metabulus2. And I still occasionally will check out the Twitter account, which is metabulus2 on Twitter. So those are good ways to get a hold of us.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to episode 226 of the Metabulus 2 podcast. I have been talking to Ben about the correct and not so correct rankings of Troughton, Pertwee, and Tom Baker.
And I have been talking to David about the not so correct and the correct rankings of Hartnell, Troughton, and Baker, and also Pertwee with David.
Until next time. Talk to you then.
Farewell. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to episode 226 of the Metabulous 2 podcast. I have been, what have we been doing here?
We've been ranking. I've been ranking with David.
Yeah. We're
a couple of rankers.
We're that's rankers, not wankers. So,
yeah, of course.
And I've been whatever with Ben.
Yeah, goodbye. Late at night for David, early in the morning for me.